WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Headlines about many American cities have grown worse and worse over the past few years. New York is probably the most extreme example. But in a new book called Low Life, Luke Sante claims that New York never was a fun city. He says that everyday life for many New Yorkers was just as perilous in the 19th century. Low life may offer cold comfort to contemporary urbanites, but commentator Maureen Carrigan says that it also offers an astonishing tour of old New York.
Reading Low Life is like inhabiting the world of those photographs that Jacob Riis took in the 1880s for his famous book, How the Other Half Lives. Riis captured the images of invisible New Yorkers, sweatshop girls, river thieves, and street urchins. In Low Life, Luke Sante follows Riis's subjects out beyond the static frame of their photographs. He trails them into the nickel lodging houses where they slept. He shoves his way into the pits of the Bowery theaters where they threw chicken bones at bad actors. And he slinks into the waterfront dives where they drank cocktails of raw whiskey and camphor. Low Life recreates the brutal circus of 19th century New York, a world that writers like Edith Wharton and Henry James were too refined to notice. Sante got the idea for writing Low Life while he was living on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. He says he became curious about the people who lived in the tenements during the period when they were being built, from around 1840 to 1919. Sante didn't want to write another academic social history of New York, nor did he want to write about honest and hard-working immigrants. Instead, he dove feet first into what he calls the accumulated mulch of the city. Sante sinks down through layers of time and sin to rediscover night spots like the Slide on Bleecker Street. It opened in the 1870s and was probably the first openly gay bar in the city. The worst dive in the 1890s was a place called McGurk's Suicide Hall. Its sick popularity derived from the fact that lots of prostitutes killed themselves on the premises. If you're interested in encounters with the grisly past, the building still stands near Houston Street. Some bars, like the Fourth Ward Hotel, thought dead customers might be bad for business, so it had trap doors through which corpses could be dropped directly into the East River. Sante says that an historical amnesia governs the view of drug use in New York, making it seem like a recent phenomenon. In fact, opium and cocaine dens flourished in the 19th century. One place, the Lafayette Hotel on West 40th Street, was especially popular with customers who used crystallized cocaine, nicknamed Bernie. Sante describes a potted tree in the back room of the Lafayette called the Bernie Tree. Its branches were garlanded with hundreds of black rubber tubes used for snorting. Sante also unearths wild stories about the gangs who once controlled the streets of New York: the Roach Guards, the Plug Uglies, the Dead Rabbits, and of course, the Bowery Boys. A gang called the Wyos even published a menu of their services. For $2, you could hire them to punch somebody's eye. For $15, they'd chew off an ear. And for $100, they'd do the big job. Sante's underground excursion into old New York depravity tries to be relentlessly anti-nostalgic, but somehow I just can't believe that these quaintly named gangs and clip joints were as bad as the horrors that threaten the city these days. Maybe I've seen too many Hunts Hall and Leo Gorcey movies. Low Life resurrects a New York that's seamy, anarchic, and mesmerizing. You might not want to live there, but you certainly want to visit.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University.